Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Are we married now?
We're definitely really good friends.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take what I can get. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Look who is in the house. It is Denise Stegall. We're going to talk about an interesting concept. She was just telling me in the green room that she had an aha moment. She had an epiphany. She realized that she couldn't do everything. Wow. That's really a novel approach for a woman. A woman always thinks that she can do everything all the time. Mother, wife, businesswoman, entrepreneur, but lacks the self-care. And that is where you have devoted your life and your new vision as a CEO of Living Health List. I want to know what that's about. She's got a list, brains. Okay, I want you to take notes. So be sure to get pencil and paper. She also has a wonder series that comes on every week where she comes on Facebook, and I'm sure it's streamed on other outlets that really give you a template, some more information on how to process, edit, and filter, and live your best life. But the best thing is, again, I commend you for realizing that aha moment and that you needed to step back and take a break. So many times we don't do that. I know I did. I gave myself working hours. I work 10 to 7. I take a lunch hour, even though I work here from my computer. I walk away. I take time, you know, scheduling time for reading. I take time for everything. So you're going to fill in a lot of those spaces for us with your list. Welcome to On the Edge, Denise Stegall.
Thank you, April. It's great to be here with you today.
I've been watching you, girl, with that pretty blonde hair. You are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thanks.
You are. So tell us where it all began for you.
Where did it all begin? You know, it's kind of funny, that story kind of, it goes back really, really far. When I was in college, my degree is hotel restaurant business management. So I focused a lot on food and nutrition. And I did that for quite a few years. I worked in restaurants and catering. So I got a really great vision of or understanding of what real food is, what people are eating, as opposed to real food. And honestly, what works and what doesn't work when it comes to your quote unquote diet, what you are eating. We're told a lot of different things, but with my background, I knew better. I could see through all of this stuff. So I really think it's important to kind of step back and kind of get back to the basics of things when it comes to food. So that is the basic of what I
want to circle back around, because I don't want to forget that part, because I took a note. That's pivotal. When you are going out in a restaurant and you're eating on vacation, will you please be sure that we circle back around and touch on that? Because I'm about to go on vacation and girl, I go through the smorgasbord.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Eating on vacation. We'll go back to that. So that's really where my career started, is back in restaurants and catering. When I got married and I moved to Minnesota, where it still is actually 50 something degrees in November, so blessings, I left my corporate job behind me, knowing full well that I would find the right thing for me. And eventually what happened was I had a bit of a health challenge. I wasn't sick. It was just something was going on in my body. Oh, I'm a woman. My body was changing. Imagine that. But at 37 years old, the doctors were kind of blowing me off. Oh, at your age, you'll be fine. It's just a phase. Well, I didn't feel good. I didn't feel like myself. And basically my husband said to me, niece, something's going on. You gotta do something about this.
What do you call you? You call you niece?
Niece.
That's cute.
Yeah, because I think I was driving him a little crazy, because this was the only time in my life that I felt that the hormone ups and downs, because I had never experienced that before. So I kind of step back. Okay, so the doctor's not helping me. The prescription that I've been taking, that's not working right now. Who do I turn to? I turn to Dr. Google. Of course, that's what we do. And online, I found everything from this is normal, you know, just, you know, suck it up, buttercup, to, oh, this could be, you know, life-threatening. You could have a tumor. And I'm like, dude, I'm having hot flashes, you know.
Right.
So what I found with the internet is it's just flooded with information and misinformation. So through my research, I actually came across a website. At the time they were called, I think they're called Women to Women. And I looked on their website and I liked what I saw. I was able to fill out a questionnaire that asked questions that the doctors and the nurses and no one else had bothered to ask. And I sent in that form. Literally 15 minutes later, my phone rang and it was a nurse from that company. Wow. And it was amazing. I mean, literally, like, sent form, phone rang. And during that conversation, this nurse asked me questions. She let me cry because at that point I was so frustrated. She let me express what was going on and, you know, what it was that I wanted. Nobody asked me that, you know, sure, I want the hot flashes to go away, but what was it that I wanted for my life moving forward? Because I was only 37 years old. And to start going through menopause or perimenopause, as we now know that it's called, at 37, I got a long life ahead of me. So those were the questions that she asked. And that conversation was truly the seed that was planted that eventually became Living Healthy List. I like the fact that people can be anywhere and they can get good information if that good information online is provided by somebody who is giving honest, reliable, and unbiased information. The piece that was missing was the connection piece. And that's where Living Healthy List comes in, because we provide the content and the information and the education. Truly what our goal is to excite women, to engage with them, to educate, of course, but also to empower women to make the changes that they need to live that healthy, happy life that they want to live. Not that somebody else wants them to live, but that they want to live.
Well, it's a self-actualization. It's coming into your own, and it's also facing your fears. I mean, can you just imagine, like you say, I'm 37 years old. Do you have children?
I do not.
Okay, you know, and that's something that, you know, whether you opt to or don't opt to, you want to at least have the option.
Yes.
To do that. And then you're going through these hot flashes, baby. And let me tell you, I am 59 and they are no thrill. But other things come along with that as well. And again, like you say, the information superhighway, you can get run over, brains.
Absolutely.
All of this information is out there. And of course, the worst sets a momentum. Oh God, I could do this. I could do that. Instead of looking at the low hanging fruit, assessing where you are, you know, documenting where you are and taking that into your physician. But having a resource like yours is great. So you bring in different subject matter experts to talk about these different things. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how you vet your guest.
Sure. We have two things. We have our experts. They're actually experts that are on Living Healthy List. Our guests are for the Wonder Series. So the experts who are on Living Healthy List, these are the people I vet. Right now, most of these people are people I've either done business with personally or I know personally, or their first level referrals from those people. So what I find is it's easier to vet people who you know through other people. And what I think is really important is then those conversations from the very beginning are connected. So when I meet somebody who is a referral, we already have a friend in common. So we already have we already have a bond. And right. So with that, you know, I have a conversation with them, and really it's about education first. You know, everybody has something, a product or a program or something to sell. But first and foremost, it has to be about educating and helping people get to that next level. And sometimes that next level is, yeah, picking up the phone and talking to one of my experts or connecting with one of our experts. Sometimes that next step is the person is just starting and, you know, they're just looking for a direction.
So the list is actually a referral service.
Yes.
And you've went in and you've vetted these individuals, you've asked them the list of questions, and then they will provide additional consultation or coaching or, you know, if that is needed, if that's warranted.
Right. What they do on a regular basis, our experts provide us with the content for our website. So the education piece, every little, every blog post or video that you see is either from me, because I am, my background is nutrition, food and nutrition, but also from every one of our other experts. Because how do you get to know an expert if you've never seen them or heard from them? When people go on to Living Healthy List and they see an article from, say, Michelle, they see an article from Michelle, they see a video from Michelle. So now they're starting to get to form a connection with her, mm-hmm. even though it's, they're just reading through her stuff or listening to her voice. Because sometimes, and this has happened to me, I worked years ago with a coach who I hired. Her voice drove me bonkers.
Mm.
And I hadn't met her prior to our working together. You know, I had read a lot of her stuff. I'd heard a lot of great things about her, but I didn't have that connection. So again, even back then, a connection was missing that I realized that was really essential. If you're going to be working with somebody, whether a coach, a consultant, an expert, whatever they may be, you really need to feel a connection to them.
Right. You want that audible orgasm.
There you go.
That's exactly what I do on the edge. I stimulate your eardrum. That keeps you engaged. If someone can provide you information, but also have a good voice inflection, a good tone, they sound empathetic, they can get excited, you hear some laughter, all of that is stimulating to the heart. That stimulates the entire body. But I want to jump into something before we go into the Wander series. Again, I want to go into that area of nutrition. Mm-hmm. You study that and restaurants. I'm about to go on vacation. And when you go on vacation, you tell yourself, okay, no holds bar. I am going to taste the lobster. I'm going to have some etouffee. I'm going to have some dessert, yada, yada, a couple glasses of wine. And then when you come back, you've put on an extra 3 or 4 pounds and you're upset with yourself. How can you find balance when you're on vacation? Enjoy those things. Is it portion control? Is it looking at what your triggers are? I mean, you know, my trigger is bread. I love, you know, the bread. I love the carbs. Me so too. I'll be there. So, you know, what do I do? How do I program my mindset before I even get on the plane to really enjoy myself, but also partake in all the festivities?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of things, because I agree. I'm actually going to be out of my home office for a couple of weeks and not on vacation, working, but not in my own home. So that, to me, that's the same as vacation. You know, if you're at home, you can control everything. So when you're on vacation, what I like to do is to, I have these three words, the three P's: plan, prioritize, and prepare. And so, you know, you're going to be going to buffets or these really amazing restaurants. The plan is, okay, we're going to go to, you know, we're going to be away for 5 days. We're going to go to 5 amazing restaurants. And maybe some of them are for dinner, maybe some of them are for lunch. Plan those out ahead of time. And if there's more than 5, maybe there's 6 or 7 or maybe 8, prioritize them. You know, which are the ones that you really want to go to? Or what are the dinners that you really want to have? I mean, you mentioned lobster, you mentioned the etouffee. Yum. So prioritize those meals. Like, what is it that you really think that you would enjoy? And then prepare for it. The prepare piece really is about getting up in the morning and saying, okay, so we're going to go to this amazing restaurant for dinner tonight. And I know I'm going to have this thing that I love, and they've got this great dessert. So I'm going to enjoy that. So earlier in the day, you kind of prepare for that meal. Mm-hmm. Maybe eat something a little lighter at breakfast. You have an egg white omelet and some fruit. Maybe for lunch you have salmon and a salad. So if you're going to have a heavy meal at dinner, you know, so you really want to enjoy it. If you've had a heavy breakfast and a heavy dinner, or a heavy lunch, dinner's just kind of, it's not as exciting. Right. It's not special anymore because you've already had two really great meals.
Right. You're building up the expectation. That's great. That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
And then you can enjoy it. And then even at that point, it still should be portion control. I mean, you shouldn't have two lobster tails if you got high cholesterol, dipping it in the butter and, you know, the baked potato and all of that kind of stuff. When you're on a cruise, there's, you know, again, as soon as you raise your hand, they're delivering it to make you happy. But also, I want to ask you about the preservatives that are put in foods. Okay, now, and I'm not just talking about at the grocery store. I'm talking about preservatives that are put in food in restaurants to extend the shelf life. See, Brains, you don't think about that. I went to a all-you-can-eat buffet years ago. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, forgive my crassness, but I felt like somebody had stuck an air hose up my ass. I was so bloated. I was playing a tune. I was like, what in the world is going on? That was the only thing I had eaten all day. What's that all about?
Well, a couple of things, especially with buffets. You said you're going on a cruise. One thing I would say, if you're going to go on a cruise, try to do the private dining as much as you can rather than the buffet, because as much as we can try and plan and prioritize and prepare for it, there's a lot of stuff on the buffet that looks good. So if you can avoid a buffet, avoid the buffet. If you can't, just, again, stick to the plan, prioritize, and prepare. When it comes to buffets, though, and your situation from the all-you-can-eat, some of the things they put into the food, one, there's a lot of salt in that food. They will use MSG. It keeps everything looking nice for a while it's been sitting out on a buffet. And then there are these mystery ingredients that we never really hear about when you're at the restaurant, but there are definitely stuff that they sprinkle on into foods that make it look better longer for a buffet.
Right. I mean, you wonder why the bananas never turn or the avocado never turns, and it's more than lemon juice, Brains. And again, I understand they want to sustain the food. You don't want to waste it. But we have to understand what we are also consuming, because we don't know what this mystery mixture is, what it does to us, and the gluten. You know, I didn't think I was gluten intolerant until I've pulled back on that bread. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And, you know, now that it's a big $25 word, I'm thinking that they're putting a little bit more in there. When you go down the aisles of the grocery store, I have a side eye. Gluten-free, fat-free, sugar-free, organic. Mm-hmm. These are big buzzwords. These are big marketing dollars for these individuals.
All about marketing.
How do you really know? What I say is shop, you know, every 3 or 4 days, like they do in Europe, consider a Mediterranean diet, eat fresh, you know, if you can sustain from a lot of meat products. Because remember, Brains, that animal has been dead 2 or 3 weeks before it lands on your plate. And even fish in the bottom of the sea. You know what's going on in the ocean right now, all these oil spills and that, this, that, and the other. What are some common sense approaches that we can do? Because now eating is kind of scary.
Eating is getting really complicated. And with all of the diets and the ways of eating, they've made it really complicated. What I say is to eat real food. Mostly plants, quite like Michael Pollan. And then be smart about the protein of choice. So most of your plate should be plant-based. A plant-based plate. Blah, blah, blah. try to say that really fast. It's your vegetables, it's your whole grains, it's your beans and legumes. Those are great sources of nutrition. They give you all the vitamins and minerals you need. They give you all of the macronutrients too that nobody thinks about. You know, we think carbs and fat and protein and that's it. And when we think protein, we always think animal protein. There are so many other proteins out there that we can either replace completely or at least reduce the amount of animal proteins that we're eating. And that includes stuff like milk and cottage cheese, because those are dairy products. Dairy products are animal products.
And you know what? What's really the kicker with that? As these animals are vegetarians. Chickens don't eat meat. Cows don't eat meat. Horses don't even eat meat. Gorillas don't eat meat. Elephants don't eat meat. And here we are consuming the little chickens, the little pigs, you know, all that. So take a look at their brains. I mean, think about it. Some of the strongest, most prominent species on the planet are vegetarians.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know when I follow a more plant-based diet, and I actually have, I love this. I have a professional certification as a plant-based cook. Ooh, and I took that class a little bit by accident. I didn't realize at the time that it was a professional course. Like I was in a class with people who were opening vegetarian restaurants.
Oh, wow.
So this was really an amazing class for me because there was a lot of great competition and competition is good. So when I took that class, it really opened my eyes to vegetarian was so much more than, oh, I'll have a salad. Because that's what everybody says. Oh, I'm getting bored with salads. I took that course so I could show people that there are so many other ways to enjoy plant-based foods that most of us have never heard of. My mom and dad are from England. And when I was growing up, we had very, you know, the square meal. We had a meat, a potato, and a really overboiled veg. That was what we thought was good nutrition. And it wasn't bad nutrition, but we didn't, one, have the options that we have today. And you're spoiled because you live in California. You get great fruits and vegetables all year long. Mm-hmm. In Minnesota, it's a lot harder. And so the food has to travel a long way. And that's something that we do need to think about too, especially when you're thinking, okay, you know, where, you know, cattle, the meat, where is that coming from? Where are the plants? Where are the fruits and veggies coming from? And I think to know that it's better to get fruits and vegetables during the wintertime if you're living up north from the closest source possible.
Right. And eat what's in season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Farmers markets are your best friend. And if you are going to eat an animal protein, spend the money for it, brains. I go to the butcher shop. Believe me, honey, my filet mignon, you can cut it before you cook it with a knife. It is beef, it's corn fed, it's fresh kill. It's, you know, those things are important because our body has to digest that. I know one time, I call myself, I'm going to take one of these cleanse. Denise, woo, maybe it wasn't pretty because I took it and I was okay. But what I did was, due to my ignorance, I reintroduced meat back into my diet too quick instead of gradually. I thought I was going to die. It took me about 8 days to completely eliminate that. Stop the acid reflex, stop the burping, stop the gas. It was awful. So what that did was, instead of me shunning away from, you know, that type of protein, what I did was I shunned away from not building up good gut and having leaky gut. Instead of, you know, I did the complete opposite because I was like, oh, I don't want to go through that again. But what it is your body is a machine. You know, and I really love the fact that you are a nutritionist, not a dietitian. That's something totally different. Can you explain to us the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist?
One of the things with dietitians, most dietitians work in clinical settings. So they have to follow kind of the the guidelines of the hospital or what the government guidelines are. Where, you know, as working in nutrition, we focus more on what are the foods that we're eating, not necessarily following the like the MyPlate, which is a government supported program.
Right, the food pyramid.
Right. Right. So it's gone from the pyramid to a plate. And the problem with that is a lot of the money that comes in to support those programs are from, you know, the farmers of America, the dairy farmers. And so is the MyPlate really the best for us? Are the dietitians who are working with that really giving the people, their clients, the best information? They're giving them the best information that they're allowed to, where I don't have that restriction and say, and tell them they have to follow the MyPlate. I focus more on the true nutrition of each of the foods and really to focus on like, what are the foods, like you said, what are the foods that either irritate you or you have an allergy to or an intolerance to, where MyPlate basically says you should have a glass of milk every day with your meal. And we know that dairy products could be one of the products that we get a lot of inflammation from, causes a ton of inflammation in our body. Well, if you have inflammation in your body and you're drinking milk, you're just adding fuel to the fire.
Right.
Kind of like when you did your cleanse and you went right back and, you know, started eating meat, like you've cleansed all of that. You know, kind of like you were putting out the fire and then you added more fuel to the fire.
And I'm telling you, I burned. I crashed and burned. Let me ask you two other questions. One is blood type. Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of reading a book based on your blood type and your nutrition. Everybody is still different. You know, do you think that there's a direct correlation with that? Could it be possibly? I mean, not, you know.
I think that, yes, there could be. I mean, they've done some research on it, but like you just said, everybody's different. Just because we have the same blood type doesn't mean that, you know, we don't have, you know, we may not have the same allergies or intolerances. You know, you and I could absolutely have the same blood type, but we have different backgrounds. So there's, you know, things that come from our genetics that play into that too. So it's really not my, I don't follow that. If somebody comes to me and they really want to follow their blood type diet, I will be very supportive. But I also challenge people to find out why they want to follow that as opposed to eating real food and really focusing on that more plant-based diet, as opposed to what I like about a plant-based diet is it's not complete vegetarian. I'm not telling people that they can't eat stuff at all. You know, there's, you know, hey, one of my favorite things, two things in the world, pizza, donuts. I am not for the rest of my life, not going to eat pizza or not going to have a donut. But a lot of
you're not going to eat the entire pizza of 14 slices and you're not going to eat the entire dozen of donuts.
Right.
It's about a balance.
But what happens when, if I say to someone, you can no longer eat pizza for the rest of your life, the next time somebody that pizza, they either walk by a pizza joint or somebody near them has pizza, they eat the whole pie because they're like, oh, I can't eat this. And there's that sense of lack.
Right.
That they are feeling where, like you said, you know, if you have a slice of pizza with a salad, you know, you've eaten the pizza. It's it's my favorite thing. I get that yummy taste of pizza. I'm from New York originally. I'm a pizza snob.
And you have to slow down, brains, and savor it. Don't just shovel it. I tell this story with a girlfriend of mine, little petite thing. And she says to me, why are you shoveling that food? Just, you know, you're eating too fast. Well, I was embarrassed. Okay. But you know what? It was an aha moment. I really didn't realize it. You're always in a meeting. You're in a hurry. You know, you're constantly doing this, never putting the fork down, never becoming one with your food, never enjoying that meditation, never understanding that you are there to, you are living to eat. You're eating to live. You are not living to eat. And so we have to understand that, but also, how do you get your kids to eat their peas is what I want to know. Because my mother, as an example, before she passed away, few years before she passed away, she had lost her sense of taste and smell. And it wasn't due to COVID. It was medication and all that. And it was horrible. And I think that's probably where I picked up the habit of shoveling my food, because she just kept trying to feel that desire. She was not able to smell it. And if you can't smell, you can't taste. And she was mortified, and she wanted to remember the taste of collard greens and sweet potatoes and, you know, pies and cookies. And she, no matter what she did, she couldn't get that. So what I did was I said, well, let me incorporate some of her other senses. Let me make her plate more colorful. Let me create more texture. When we're having dinner, let's talk about, you know, oh, do you remember we went on vacation and we picked those greens and how they smelled, sparking a memory in their mind. How can we psych our kids up to start eating better?
Well, it's definitely easier to start them young. But at some point, the having the conversations with your kids, and actually you eating the peas yourself actually kind of is a trigger for kids, whether they're going to admit it or not. They see that, you know, you eat it and it's healthy. Sometimes like with brownies, like I'll put zucchini in the brownies or put the black beans in the brownies, because it's a little bit of a trick, but the kids start to acquire a taste for it rather slowly, but they still acquire a taste for it. What my mom used to do when we were young is she would have us try it. You had to have 3 spoonfuls, because no matter what, the first time you put something in your mouth that's new, you're not going to like it, because you're already thinking you're not going to like it. So the second bite, you're kind of going, okay. By the third bite, you kind of know if you like it or not. And so that was a trick. And most of the time, like, you know, she'd say, so what do you think? And I'm like, well, it's not bad. You know, it's not chocolate cake, but it was, you know, a vegetable, and it tasted fine. Right. It wasn't horrible. You know, some kids will go, oh, I don't eat vegetables. I don't like green vegetables.
Right, right. And some of my suggestions are the word healthy can be a turnoff.
Especially to kids.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. To adults too, because it requires work.
Yeah.
It requires you to be conscious. It requires you to be present. It requires you to make a decision. So, you know, the word healthy, maybe pick another word. You know, this is fun. This is superfood. This is, you know, engaging, you know.
I like the word superfood. One thing that I would say, you know, with the plate, and you mentioned this when you were talking about your mom, kind of that rainbow, you know, eat the rainbow. Though I know it's a Skittles commercial, but like in my world, the rainbow is different colored fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And there really is something, like there's an enzyme or something that some of us have that really makes like something like broccoli just really bitter and horrible. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have that. So I eat broccoli, but my brother-in-law, he can't stand it. Like there's something, he's so averse to it. So what he does is, so he doesn't eat broccoli, but he likes asparagus. So he'll have asparagus instead. Exactly. And so I think, you know, when it comes to certain vegetables, with kids and with adults, you know, eat the ones you really like, try new things. But if there's something that you absolutely hate, my husband will not eat kale. He will not eat kale no matter what I do.
And I won't eat okra.
He loves okra.
You know? But also, don't use your food as a punishment. If you don't eat this, this is going to be the consequence. And, you know, you have to do some things people just can't tolerate on their palate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so honor that. But, you know, provide them an option. Okay, well, you know, maybe you don't like okra. Maybe would you be willing to try, and make it an invitation. Don't make it a demand. My third suggestion is to bring them in the kitchen. The kitchen is the greatest place in the world. There's all of these great cooking shows, baking shows. It teaches your children mathematics. It teaches them how to use the appliance. It teaches them how to wash the dishes. But also it's a bonding again. And then you have that meditation that you're working together. You're mentally focused on creating this great thing. And then when you present it to your family or you eat it, oh my God, there is the reward. So there's a lot of good things that you can psych your kids out brains and get them to eat right and quit these fast food restaurants. I remember when this, you know, particular fast food restaurant came out, baby, you could not get me to eat at home. We had to pull through there every single day or I would just fall out. But the food was a little bit different. But then my mother was like, you know what? This is not working for you. Mm-hmm. This is not working for you. And so she started, okay, well, this is your reward. If you do X, Y, Z, then this is, you know, a part of the reward package. This is not the norm. And now the price of fast food, my husband picked us up 2 burgers, some fries yesterday, $27.
Wow. Yeah. So where is that cheaper? Because a lot of people say, oh, it's cheaper to eat at, you know, a fast food restaurant than it is to go.
And the meat is, it's soybean. It's not even real beef. You can't identify. I know we were on a plane one time and the stewardess brought my brother his food and he says, I cannot identify this piece of chicken, so I will not be eating it. One time I had a chicken leg that looked like a turkey leg. It was on steroids. You got to pay attention to that. And you have a choice, brain, not to eat it. You can eat everything around it. You don't have to eat that. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. You make a good point because we travel, you know, we fly quite a bit, not so much in the last year and a half. But one of the things to do, and this may help you with your vacation, bring stuff with you that you know you like, mm-hmm. that you can eat. Like, so if you're out and about and you're like, oh, I'm hungry, rather than running into a fast food restaurant or who knows what you're going to get, pull out that whatever it might be, whether it's a granola bar or an apple, or my best friend from college turned me onto those little packets of tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, you want some protein, you got some good protein. You know, it's
right.
And I think that's another one of those things that it's about being mindful about what you're doing right now, but what you're going to be doing also, again, with your meals. Is it, you know, what if you're going to be traveling, if you're going to be on vacation, what are the things that you are going to do? And be mindful about it today before you head out. And then that's where that planning comes in is, okay, what am I going to do in, you know, what if we get stuck at the airport? Right. Airport food is horrendous.
Oh my God. And that's what's happening right now. Everybody's getting stuck at the airport. One thing I forgot to also add to that is brains, grow a garden. I don't care if you live in a swanky high rise in Manhattan, they have these outdoor gardens, but to actually see the fruit of your labor, to plant some seeds and see a little strawberry bloom or a tomato, and then you take it off and the taste is incredible. To teach your children how to cultivate the soil and understand where their food is actually coming from, it will turn things around 110%. Before we conclude, I want you to share with us a little bit about the Wonder Series.
Sure.
What is going on in that space?
So I love doing the Wonder Series. The Wonder Series is your weekly chance to think outside the box, to look at your life from another perspective, to open your mind to opportunities, and then realize what your life could be like once you do that. And so it's about being mindful. And for 30 minutes every Wednesday, I talk to an expert in different areas of health, wellness, personal development, and bringing more fun into life because we need that. And what I love about the Wonder Series is we really talk about whatever the topic of the month is. So this month we're talking about gratitude and thankfulness. And actually it's really exciting. My friend, David George Brooke, who is that gratitude guy, he's going to be my guest tomorrow. And you know, he's the gratitude guy. We're talking about gratitude. I mean, who better to invite to a conversation than somebody who lives and breathes that? So that's what I try to bring to the Wonder Series is the people who are already emulating that, that behavior that we all want in our own lives.
Right. And gratitude is latitude, you know, and it will change your attitude.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what you have to do, brains. You got to change your attitude about things because mm-hmm. everything has been so compartmentalized We've been so unhappy. We've been restricted. We've had to eat what your mother that can't cook has prepared. But now you have choices, you have freedoms, you have options. You know, I want you to take care of yourself in every way possible, whatever that looks like and feels like to you and your family. I want you to connect with Denise Stegall. She is the business. Check out her series. You know, you don't have to pay attention to some really great information that can, you know, change your life forever. Because we have to really think about sustainability and build up our immune system to fight off the common cold. Forget COVID, you know, just what that is, washing our hands and all that kind of stuff. So thank you so much, Denise, for being here with me and my brains on the edge. Please tell them how they can contact you. Have you written a book also? I thought you told me you wrote a book.
Well, there's two things I got. So the book behind me is called The Successful Body.
Well, it doesn't need to be behind you. Bring it up front and center, Queen, so we can see that. Yes, ma'am.
So this is the first book. This is actually a book that I wrote with 32 other people. This is a best-selling book in the United States and in Canada. So one of the chapters is that I wrote. It's called Eat Real Food, which I mentioned earlier. This is a great book. You can get it on Amazon. And in February, my own personal book will be coming out. That's titled Healthy Living, Happy Life. Subtitled to come.
Wow. Well, again, like I said, you've got a choice, brains. And I know it's hard, you know, but just think, when you were an infant, you only had milk, and then you were introduced to solid foods, and then you got introduced to fast foods, and then you got introduced to making your own choices. So as they say, once an adult, twice a child. Now we have to regress. Now we have to settle into who we are and understand our food restrictions. We are making a choice. We're making an investment. You know, your groceries is probably 2/3 of your expenses in your home outside of the mortgage. You know, and especially if you have kids, you really want them to grow up with a variety, like life. You got to have a variety. You don't want them like me with the air.
And what you eat, you are teaching the kids, whether they're 5 or 15 or 25. Kids learn from their parents. They really do. They look up to us and expect us to point them in a good direction. Even when we don't think they're paying attention, they are.
Right. And food is a pleasure, not a punishment. Mm-hmm. It's a punishment. So enjoy it. Thank you so much, Denise, for being here on The Edge. Come back in February.
Would love to.
So we can hear what's going on in the book. And brains, I want you to run, not walk, run out and connect with me and Denise on all the social media platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Become a subscriber so that you will be on the cutting edge of updated information. Thank you so much, beautiful. Have an amazing day.
Thanks so much.
Bye, brains.